Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very spooky episode 36 of Real Stories. Today I have three paranormal tales for you, so without any further ado, let's get started. Right around the time I got pregnant a year ago, one of my friends passed away in a tragic car accident. She was a friend from college and had recently moved within an hour of my home. The week before she passed, we had made plans for her to come and visit the following weekend. I had this crazy, vivid dream that I was going to a city to visit her. In my dream, not just anyone could get to this city. You had to have a guide to get there. And my guide was unnaturally tall, silver shiny hair, and no wrinkles at all. Appeared pretty young. He didn't talk to me at all, just drove. He drove through tidal waves that hid the road. Once we were in the city, he dropped me off. The city was magical, but I was surprised to see it looked like any other city. I met my friend at a restaurant, and we talked like old times. She kept telling me how happy she was. Her death really upset me, not just because I was going to miss her, but she had finally found a good guy that she was in a solid relationship with, and I knew she wanted to get married and have kids. She also had recently landed her dream job right before her death. During the dream, we continued to eat our dinner while talking. She started telling me that I was going to be so in love with my child and that we would grow to be the best of friends as my child aged. When she was telling me this, I could see her running and playing in a field with a kid, but I couldn't tell the gender. My husband and I were going to wait until our child's birth to find out. In my dream, I asked her, "Do you know my child?" She smiled and said yes, and that they play all the time. I asked what the gender was, and she laughed and said, "I know your husband wants to be surprised, and I refuse to ruin the surprise." After dinner, we walked down to the street, and there were people and stores everywhere. The vibe was very jolly, almost like any other city during Christmas time. I looked at her and said, "Why don't you come back with me?" She smiled and said, "You know I can't do that. I promise I am very happy here." I got sad and said, "Why don't I shop with you here for a little while?" She laughed and said, "You also know you can't stay here." We gave each other a hug and I climbed back into the weird car with my guide. This dream was so vivid and so real. I am certain it was her giving me some peace that she truly is okay with not living out her goals here on Earth. Wow, that is a very interesting story. Some people may feel that these dream stories are outside of the paranormal realm, but I beg to differ. I feel like if you are seeing somebody who has recently passed away, that falls within the supernatural realm, even if it is during a dream. Which I feel like when people come back during the dreams to kind of let that person know that they're okay, it's really wonderful. So I hope that if people need that they get that, because that sounds like it would be very comforting in what I can only imagine would be a very difficult time. So in this story, our author is pregnant, and unfortunately one of her friends passes away in a car accident. And this friend was on the brink of living their dream life. Like, they were in a happy relationship with a person that they wanted to get married to. They were about to start their dream job, and everything was going really well for them. Unfortunately, they passed, but our author had this dream where she vividly goes to this weird city that she has to be driven to because it's a secret. And they have to drive through waves and, you know, dream logic, a lot of weird stuff happens. However, she finally gets to this city, this heavenly city, and she meets up with her friend and they have dinner, and her friend tells her that she's okay and she's happy. She talks about how she knows this lady's unborn child and that they play together all the time. Even when our author asks, you know, what's the gender? Because her and her husband were keeping that a secret till the birth. And their friend even says that, and they're like, "I know how your husband feels and I don't want to ruin the surprise, so she's not going to tell." But it's just crazy because she said she was playing with this child and the child hadn't been born yet, but yet she was fully aware of them and played with them. So it just really leaves you with a lot of questions. But It is a really beautiful story that can definitely maybe make people feel a little bit better about what goes on in the afterlife, because this idyllic city where there's a lot of people and places to shop and places to eat sounds very nice. So who knows? Maybe that's what it's like. We'll get back to more supernatural tales right after this word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey guys, it's really hard to go through life if something is weighing you down mentally. For years, I tried to get through life while suffering from anxiety and thinking that everything was normal. I just thought that this is just how I feel, and, you know, it was pretty miserable. However, once I finally talked to a professional about it and I was able to get help, I'm doing so much better now. Honestly, it's a game changer. So if you think you might be feeling stressed, depressed, anxious, or overwhelmed, today's sponsor, BetterHelp, is here to help you. BetterHelp offers licensed therapists who are trained to listen and help you. And you can talk to your therapist in an online environment at your convenience. There is a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's network of 20,000 therapists that give you access to help that may not be available in your area. You simply fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you can get matched to a therapist in as little as 48 hours. You can then schedule video and phone sessions and exchange unlimited messages with your therapist. You can request a new therapist at no additional charge at any time. So join the 3 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced BetterHelp therapist. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/realstories. That's betterhelp.com/realstories. All one word. There's no time like the present to get your mental health in order, and it will vastly improve the quality of your life. Trust me. Now let's get back to the show. The story I'm about to tell is not one I personally experienced, but one that was told to me by my father, who experienced it firsthand many years ago. He went on a hunting trip one autumn night with his uncle and family friends of theirs. They were hunting for raccoons, which is usually done at night, using a scent hound bred for that type of thing. It was common in the southern United States, and that's where it took place, in a remote rural area in the southeastern U.S. in the late 1970s/early 1980s. My uncle had two fully trained, reliable hounds with an excellent hunting record with them. On this particular evening, the three men each had a light source. One had a carbide lamp, another had a brand new flashlight with brand new batteries, and another had a lantern. The location they chose to hunt was in an area my uncle had been to many times. It was truly a remote area, far removed from civilization, and was one of the most beautiful wilderness areas that anyone had ever seen. It was located near a national park. That night, they drove a little further out than they usually did, and they let the dogs out. It didn't take long for the dogs to track down a raccoon. The men followed the dogs and had to walk quite a bit off the regular path at this time. They ended up well outside the usual area. It was an area my uncle was not familiar with. They found the dogs at a very large tree situated on a cliff. There were no other trees around it, and they could hear the sound of water flowing in the creek beneath the cliff. The strange thing about the tree was this stone that was sitting beneath it. My dad said the stone resembled a gravestone. The way it was positioned upright, just below the tree, and the way it almost looked like it had been placed there. As soon as the hunting party reached the tree where the dogs were, the dogs suddenly went silent and walked away from the area in the direction from which the group had just come. My uncle noted that the dogs' behavior was uncharacteristic of them because they had never just walked off like that when there was a good raccoon in a tree. My dad thought that it was odd as well. He said he had never seen them act that way. It was as if something had spooked them. Baffled by the dog's behavior, they still decided to look to see if there was a raccoon in there. My dad leaned up against the stone and shined his light up into the tree. There was no raccoon to be found, which again was highly unusual. If there wasn't a raccoon, what were the dogs chasing? As soon as my dad leaned up against the tree and shined the light into it, their friend's carbide lamp suddenly went out. My dad said as soon as my friend uttered the words, "My light went out," the other two simultaneously went out as well. Alone in the woods and completely in the dark, a feeling of uneasiness settled over the men. My uncle, who was a logical-minded man, calmly stated, "There's probably a reasonable explanation for what has just happened. We all need to remain calm. Let's just step away from here and make our way back to the Jeep." So they headed back the way they came. About a half mile to a mile on their way back, their lights all came back on, as if nothing had happened. They found the dogs a little farther down the way, nearer to the Jeep. My dad never went back there to hunt again. What's interesting to note about this particular area is it's near a well-known area of the park where lots of people through the years have drowned in the river there. It is reported to be a haunted spot. There have been ghost sightings and all kinds of strange occurrences in that area. It's possible they wandered into the park near that very spot where some unfortunate soul drowned. Whoa, that was a pretty crazy story. Our author heard the story from her dad, who was on a hunting trip with their uncle and a family friend. And on this trip, they were using these dogs to hunt these raccoons. And while doing this, the dogs ran up to a very mysterious tree that was on the top of a cliff. And when they caught up with the dogs were uncharacteristically scared, like they just saw something. Because if it was a raccoon, they'd have been like hot on their trail, like barking at them, doing the most. But they actually seemed pretty spooked by whatever they found in this tree, which led them to the logical question of, well, what was in the tree? Well, they don't find that out, but all of the light sources that each of them had went out at like the same exact time when they were near this mysterious tree. And when you put that together with the fact that the area that they were in is well known for drownings, unfortunately, then it sounds like there could have been a paranormal element to this, because all of the lights going out at the same time is very strange, because they all had a different type of light for some reason. One of them had a very fancy flashlight with brand new batteries and everything. One of them had a lantern, and one of them had a carbide lamp, but all of these light sources went off at the same time. So that happens, they kind of get freaked out because it's dark out, hence the need for the light. And they start heading back, and once they get to a certain point away from this tree, the lights just all come back on as if nothing happened. So it definitely freaked their dad out, and he never went there to hunt again. It's a very weird scenario because I don't exactly know what caused it. And, you know, I like to think in the paranormal for some of these unexplained things, but I really have no idea. I don't know what a possible other explanation could be. That alone makes this a very good story, because that is a very creepy detail. I started seeing ghosts when I was a kid. First memory I have is going to an elderly neighbor's house with my mom when I was about 5. As we were walking to her house, I saw this elderly man standing in her garden. He smiled and appeared friendly. My mom walked on by him without saying a word. He never said anything either. I thought it was strange, but didn't say anything. We got inside the house and I was chatting with the neighbor when I saw him in the hallway to the living room. He was watching us and smiling, not saying anything. I saw a photo of him in the living room with the neighbor lady, so I figured he must live here. Still, I noticed no one look at him or say anything to him. Finally, the curiosity got the best of me, and I said, "Who is that man in the hallway, smiling and looking at us?" My mom and neighbor said no one was there and looked at me confused. I said, "The man in the picture is standing in the kitchen smiling at us, and no one is saying anything to him." They told me that that was impossible because that was her husband, Bud. And Bud died 2 weeks ago, and that was why my mom came to visit her. The second time was when I was visiting my uncle's house. He and his wife had just gotten a waterbed, which was very popular at the time. He was showing it to my mom and I. As we walked up the stairs to their bedroom, I saw this man who appeared to be in his late 20s / early 30s, sandy blonde hair, wearing only boxer shorts, pacing back and forth in the upstairs hallway. We walked right by him, and again, no one but me looked or said anything to him. I thought that was strange. He continued to walk back and forth on that strip of hallway, outside the door, and even looked in the room at us a few times. Again, I was curious about what was going on, so I asked my mom and my uncle, "Who is the man walking around in the hallway?" They looked confused. My uncle said no one should be there. Let me go look. He comes back a few minutes later and said he saw no one. I said, "He is still outside the door." My uncle got quiet for a minute, sighed, and said, "Well, he's harmless then. Don't worry about it." My mom, even more concerned, asked my uncle what he meant by that and what was going on. My uncle then said that my cousin, who was the same age as me, also reported seeing a man in their house. My uncle said he would tell my mom more about it when we went downstairs. They made me play outside while they talked. I found out years later from my mom that my cousin, who also saw the man, was not believed by his parents at first, and that they had just chalked it up to being an imaginary friend. That was until my cousin started saying that the man lived in that house and wanted to know why they were there. My aunt took him to a psychologist and everything. She eventually did some research on the house and discovered that a man in his early 30s unalived himself in that house in the early 80s. A few years ago, they bought it. Also, when my cousin's younger brother was old enough to talk, he too saw the man and was absolutely terrified of him because he said he would come into their room. He was so terrified he didn't want to sleep by himself. He refused to sleep in his bedroom. Another ghost sighting happened a few years later when I was about 8 or 9 years old. My brother and I used to play near a creek in the backyard. Across the creek was an old house. This kind old man would come outside of the house and watch us play, but he never said a word to us. He seemed to really enjoy watching us play, and he didn't seem weird at all. He seemed to be a genuinely nice guy. He had white hair and was very fair-skinned, skinny, and always wore the same dress clothes, a button-up beige dress shirt, and dark brown dress pants and dress shoes. The thing that made me begin to feel uneasy was the fact that my outgoing brother never acknowledged the old neighbor man. He never looked in his direction, nor said a word. See, I didn't notice this the first few times we played there, and never thought anything weird about it because the man seemed harmless. One day, I finally got the courage to ask my brother if he saw the man sitting there on the porch. We were very close to the house, so he could clearly see if anything was there. My brother looked up and around me and asked if I was messing with him or trying to scare him. I couldn't believe it. There the man was, clear as day, and yet I was the only one who saw him. I told my brother I was going back to the house and he should come with me. He didn't, so I went to the house and asked my mom who lived in that house. She said that no one lived in that house for years. I told her about the old man, and she said to get my brother and not go back there until her and my dad had checked it out. I never saw him again. The story doesn't end there, though. It gets even more creepy. A few years later, family moved into that house. We made friends with the two girls who lived there. One day, the oldest girl told us that their house was haunted. They said they heard their cabinet doors in the kitchen being opened and closed at night, but nobody would be there, and the light switches would also turn on and off on their own. She said that her younger sister said that she had saw the ghost and described him as an older gentleman, and said that his name was Frank and that he lived in that house. The family eventually moved away not too long after that. Years later, I was walking with my grandma at the cemetery above our house, and she commented that this grave we went by was that of the neighbor who used to live in the house behind ours. He died in the 1960s, when my dad was a baby. According to this tombstone, he was 62 when he died. His first name? Frank. And I asked my grandma if he was fair-skinned, white-haired, and a slim-looking man. And she said yes, and asked if I'd seen a picture of him. I told her the story. It creeped her out, too. Finally, I had a strange experience when I was at my first job. I was 19 and working the night shift at a house taking care of severely disabled people who couldn't talk, walk, or do anything on their own. I was washing dishes when I looked up and saw that what I thought was my coworker walked into one of the client's rooms to check on them. I wanted to speak with her, so I followed her into the room, and there was no one there but the client, who was sleeping in bed. I looked outside the window of the room and saw my coworker outside fixing another coworker's car. They were both outside. I honestly wasn't paying close attention to the woman who I saw walk into that room. I just noticed that she had short hair and was about the same height as my coworker. When my coworker came back inside, I told her that I could have sworn that I saw her walk into the bedroom, and so I followed her in there, but nobody was there. I thought I was losing my mind. My coworkers looked at me and said that what I saw wasn't unusual, and that I was not the first person to see a woman in that house. Apparently, that place had been the scene of a double homicide many years ago. A man and a woman were shot and killed while they slept in their bed. Many people apparently have reported seeing what they believe to be the woman's ghost. Ooh, that was an interesting collection of experiences. It sounds like the author had the ability to see apparitions from a very young age, and they never grew out of that ability, which is nice because some people lose that ability as they get older. But as we've talked about time and time again, kids are the ones who mainly have this sight to see into the afterlife and this vision to see these ghosts. So she talks about the first ghost that she saw was when she was about 5 years old. And that she was with her mom at a neighbor's house, and she kept seeing this guy. This guy was very nice and friendly, and he smiled, and she saw him outside the house, in the house, but then she saw pictures of this man in the house. But when she and her mom would have seen this guy, her mom did not acknowledge him, which she thought was weird. And the neighbor whose house they were visiting also didn't acknowledge this guy, which is also weird. After seeing this guy and wondering why nobody's acknowledging him, she finally asks. And it turns out that that man passed away, and that's actually the reason that they were at the house in the first place, was so her mom could talk to the neighbor and console her. So that's pretty interesting. Also, I feel like sometimes when the ghosts stick around, it's because they met an earlier demise in this case, earlier than their partner had. And so they kind of like to stick around or at least give them advice or a thoughtful dream and just let them know that they're still looking out for them and watching over them, which is really sweet. So then they talk about how they saw a person at their uncle's house. And again, same deal. She was seeing this person that nobody else was acknowledging. She eventually asks about it. And it turns out that she is not the first person to report seeing a ghost in this house. And so her aunt eventually does research and finds out that a guy had unalived himself in that house many years ago. So with that being said, it sounds like that man's ghost is still roaming the halls of the house. So this is straight up a very impressive skill at this point, to see these people at multiple locations. Because a lot of kids, they just see like one ghost, but this girl, everywhere she goes, she's seeing them, which is very fascinating. In her next experience, she talks about being 8 or 9 years old, and she is seeing this guy across this creek from her house, and he's just chilling there. Seems like a nice guy. He just watches her and her brother play. He's an older guy, dressed very nicely, and he doesn't seem to be bothering anybody, so she doesn't really pay him much attention, but she does notice that he's there. Her brother never notices this guy. Same scenario. She's seeing people that other people can't. So eventually she asks her brother, why don't you acknowledge that guy? Do you see him? And he's like, what guy? He thinks that she's trying to scare him. And you know, sometimes siblings do pull pranks on each other like that. So that would be kind of a freaky experience, especially since the brother didn't know about this ability. Because imagine being with like your friend or your sibling and they're just like, do you see that over there? And you're like, what? There's nothing over there. And you're like, there's a person over there. That would be so freaky to me that somebody is able to perceive another presence in the room or the area that is not perceptible to everybody. That would really freak me out. Finally, she talks about seeing a person that nobody else could see at her first job. So this is not just when she's a kid. She's now 19, and she's working a job where she's helping severely disabled people. And at one point, she sees a woman go into one of these people's rooms. And she's wondering, like, whoa, was that one of my coworkers who kind of just went in there? Because that's weird. Why'd she just do that? So she goes into the room to ask her coworker why she just walked in there, and nobody's there except for the person who lives there sleeping in the bed, as they should. So she's seeing another person that nobody else can see. But their coworker goes on to tell them that she's not the first person to report seeing a woman that matches the description of who she saw wandering through the house. And a little more digging reveals that there was a double homicide in the house, and that people have seen this woman who it was a victim in that homicide. So they think that she is the ghost that they're seeing wander around the hallways. So this was definitely a very interesting collection of stories, and I'm very jealous of this girl's ability to see ghosts, even in an older age. Very cool. Alrighty guys, that's going to do it for episode 36 of Real Stories. This week you have heard Visit from a Friend Who Passed Away Via a Dream by SunnyRay02. Then, My Ghost Stories and Spooky Thing Happened on a Hunting Trip, both by user Duck_Wife. All stories were read with the permission of their respective authors. If you have a story that you would like to hear on the show, please email it to me at thearspodcast@gmail.com. That's thearspodcast@gmail.com. And you can remain anonymous. And finally, go to betterhelp.com/realstories for 10% off your first month of therapy. If you're thinking about giving therapy a try, why not go for the discount at BetterHelp? All right, I will see you guys next week with a brand new episode. Until then, stay safe.